Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello and welcome to Jump Podcast. I am Traveling Jackie, and you are probably dying to find out what it was that you just listened to. That was a very special performance shared with us by our Bedouin hosts in the middle of the Jordan Trail. And I played it for you because you're going to hear more about that specific song in today's episode, as I invite my friends Jeff and Chanel Woodis to join me here in a little bit. We're going to take you behind the scenes of what it actually looks and feels like to walk across a country. We're walking, more specifically, along the Jordan Trail from Dana to Petra, which is part of the itinerary that we run in Jordan. And we did it earlier this year, 2023, and Jeff and Chanel were both on that trip, and they are here to sort of bring it to life for you today. We've talked about Jordan on the podcast before, but never just actually about walking the Jordan Trail, what we see, who we meet, what it sounds like, what it feels like, tastes like, everything. So take a moment to pause this if you want to go grab some tea, maybe some hummus, so that your taste buds don't get left behind on this adventure. This conversation you're about to hear was part of a pod chat, which if you haven't heard of that yet, it's our new style of podcasting here at Jump Adventures, where we actually invite you behind the scenes to join us as we host and record original conversations for the podcast with a live audience in the house. And that's where you come in. And with you, we also do chat Q&A sessions to dive a little deeper into the subjects of conversation. And we do live giveaways. And these pod chats are truly a great way for us to connect with each other. Because if you've been around here for any amount of time, you know we are so much more than a podcast. This is one of the ways that you can get involved beyond just listening. And if you want to know more and join us, please do. You can find pod chats at jumpadventures.com/podchats. And as part of these podchat experiences, there is often a visual element involved because this is on screen, right? And so for this episode, the part that you don't get to see was the fact that as we recorded this, we were all wearing our Jordanian headscarves. And I actually tied Jeff's on screen so people could see how we did it on the actual trail. And I also did a demonstration of how to apply kohl to my eyes, which is the black eyeliner that the Bedouins wear. I applied it to my own eyes right there on the screen. It was fun. We like to have fun. And if you are a Podchat member or if you decide to join, you, of course, have access to replays so you can always go back and watch anything that you missed. So again, if you want to join us on the inside, please come join us. You can find us at jumpadventures.com/podchats. And we're doing one a month, so you can join anytime. All right, the other exciting news around here is that, in case you didn't know, we at Jump, being so much more than a podcast, also host group trips all around the world. And we are heading to Baja, Mexico, for a mountain and island adventure in February of 2024. We still have space for that. And we're also going to New Zealand for the first time at the end of 2024. That one is currently sold out. However, we may add more dates if we get enough people on the wait list. So pop on over to jumpadventures.com and make sure that you're subscribed to our emails so you don't miss any of these exciting trip announcements and updates as they happen. Because wherever we are, you are invited to be as well. So on that note, let's dive into this podcast experience with Jeff and Chanel as we take you on a virtual walk along the Jordan Trail. So I have with me Jeff and Chanel, who are a married couple. We are all in their house, actually, at the moment. And they both came to Jordan with me and a whole bunch of other people earlier this year to hike the Jordan Trail from Dana to Petra. And go to Wadi Rum and go jeeping and go to Wadi Mujib and go canyoning or, yeah, can we call it that? I don't know.
Canyoneering?
Canyoneering? Spelunking? swimming up some rocks and down? Yeah, we'll get there. But so I invited them to join me today because we wanted to kind of emphasize these guys are very well traveled, and we wanted to share today how it feels to walk, like to hike across the country instead of just doing by train or bus or quick kind of trips. We spent 5 days hiking on the Jordan Trail plus a day hiking through Petra, which we arrived to from the back. Which was really special because we were among very few people who do that. And so that's why they are here. We wanted to kind of recreate that experience and share some of the stories that could only happen from being on a trail behind the mountains where you'd never even know there's a trail. And there are people living and there are goats and there's life. There's all sorts of things that we got to discover as we did this trip together. And so, Jeff and Chanel, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having us, Jackie.
Yeah.
Super cool opportunity. We're excited.
Yeah. So do you guys want to start with maybe a little bit of background about just how much traveling you've done and why you thought that this trip would be interesting?
Yeah, we try to travel as much as we can, and we're always looking for what's our next trip. And we were just spitballing some ideas, and then out of nowhere, Chanel said, how about Jordan? Would you consider going to Jordan? And I didn't know where she came up with that idea. I was like, well, that's nowhere that we've ever talked about. You know, it just kind of came out of left field. And at first I thought she's crazy. Then I looked at your itinerary and was like, this is pretty epic. And then it just kind of became more and more real, and we were just getting excited. And then we just kind of scrapped all our other ideas for our next trip. And Chanel convinced me that our next trip was Jordan. So,
well, and something I'll say too on that is this itinerary is not a typical trip for us. We certainly haven't hiked as much as we did on this trip. And so it wasn't necessarily on our radar because it fit into what we normally do, but quite the opposite, actually. And that's a lot of the appeal of why we wanted to go to Jordan, is because this was outside of comfort zone. It was off the short list of the countries we had on the radar to go visit. So it just worked out perfect in the sense that it wasn't anything part of the plan.
I love it, because it sounds like with all the trips that you've done before, this kind of experience was new for you. And so these stories are going to be, I feel like, extra special because they're going to be a little different from something that you've experienced in the past.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go ahead and set the stage for everybody about what the trip looked like from start to finish and bring some of it to light through our stories.
So I'll kick us off. Let's see. We all arrived into Amman, the capital of Jordan, and we had a big kind of group gathering, group dinner, just to kind of get acquainted with each other. We were all strangers at the very beginning, of course. met you, Jackie, met our guide, Mahmood. And then the very next day, early start, we all got on a bus and we drove about 3 hours to Dana. And that was the start of the hiking. I think we averaged 10 and a half miles a day. But that start at Dana was a cool, very small town, very small village. But it did have some accommodations there at the start of this trail. Jeff, do you want to talk about the trail? And Jeff was such a good researcher when it came to the terrain and what to expect. I went into it blind, so I would just ask him, okay, what do I got to gear up for tomorrow?
Well, this was a super cool start to the trip, because we could basically see our entire hike when we got off the bus. We were up in the hills, and, you know, below us, there's this vast canyon and the rocks were this orangey red and there's dots of green and there's all these new colors and this new terrain and this whole new landscape to us. And below us, there's this trail that kind of winds down to the bottom of this vast canyon. And basically I told Chanel, we take that trail to the end of the canyon.
All the way down.
So we're going to hike basically the entire canyon. And that was fun to see it from the start and know where our endpoint was. It started, I think the first 2 miles were downhill. And everyone is just fresh and meeting each other and talking. And it's just, the weather was perfect. And we're just cruising down there. And our guide would stop us periodically and point out different plants. Some that we will never forget. The spiny milky vetch was all of our favorites, but there was also the poisonous onions.
Can you imagine why?
Yeah. And very few people on this trail, mostly our group. And we're basically making our way from the top of the mountains down into this valley. And as we got into the valley, the further and further we got, it was just always fun to kind of turn around and look where we started. And the entire time I was out there, I'm just thinking, like, where am I on earth? I was just kept pinching myself. I'm in the middle of Jordan. I'm on this trail with all these people that I'm just now meeting, but a couple hours ago were strangers, and we're all swapping stories and enjoying the scenery. And it was just a great
start. It didn't take long.
Yeah. It was just an amazing start to the whole trip. I mean, it was, I think, a 9-ish mile hike. Every so often our guide would pull us over and give us some sort of lesson, whether it was in geology or the plants or the animals
or even Jordanian culture traditions. We learned a lot about, we would just throw topics at him, like, what's a marriage like in Jordan, or what's a baby shower like, and he would just talk to us about that. It was just such a insider view into that country and those customs.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and it was a long hike, but it was very leisurely and it was great. And then when we got to the end of the trail, basically our destination was the Fainan Eco Lodge, which is one of the top eco lodges in the world. It's fully sustainable, off-grid. We found out when we got there that the only electricity was in the bathrooms and the kitchen, and all of our bedrooms were candle lit. So we're really looking forward to checking this place out. But the minute we got there, they informed us that we had 7 minutes before the sunset hike. So we're like, oh my gosh, we just hiked 9 miles. And now we basically tossed our bag in our bedroom, saw the Eco Lodge, and it's like, well, I guess we're hiking again. So we, most of us embarked on the sunset hike, and it was probably just a half mile or three quarters of a mile down the road. And we got to this vantage point and the sun was setting and you could see some Bedouin campsites off in the distance. And it was just like layers of dust in the mountains in the distance were different shades of orange. And you're seeing the sun set. And then behind us, one of the local Bedouins started a fire and he's brewing the tea that we drank a lot of. And it's just this fantastic, sweet tea that they cook over the fire, and they pass it all out to us. And we got to sit down and enjoy just this fantastic sunset that almost seemed like we were watching it from a different planet. It was nothing like we've seen, you know, over here in Montana. And after that,
one thing about that that hike is, you know, going back to our walking journey as a whole in Jordan, is even though we had just hiked this amazing 9-mile hike and we still had this last little bit, that last little bit was through this Bedouin village. And so we wouldn't have necessarily seen some of the things, I believe, if we just would have taken a Jeep out to the vantage point for the sunset, or even a donkey, because we saw schools, we just saw life. I think you mentioned that, you know, at the start of this, Jackie, is I think when you travel by, I was going to say road, by like car, like other than foot, you're kind of just set on the destination and you don't really have a chance to look around. You're sort of forced into it because you have to see where you're walking. You have to see where you're stepping, and just be able to see this everyday life was such a treasure, I think.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we walked by at that school, like you said, it was kind of fun to see and see firsthand, and slowly walk by where a lot of the locals in that small little village, you know, lived and went to school and whatnot. And then when we got back, we were treated to just this fantastic feast under the stars.
Candlelit.
No light pollution anywhere. So the stars are super bright and it's easy to see all the constellations. And then as soon as we finished our meal, they invited us upstairs. They had a roof deck where they did an astronomy lesson where they were pointing out different stars and constellations, and they had a telescope, and we were basically just laying down on these comfortable mats on our backs, looking up at these stars. And, you know, you've never seen stars that bright. It was amazing, just action packed day from start to finish. So the first day, it was just
laying down felt nice.
It did.
The laying down felt nice.
But it's like, well, how is this going to get any better? And I feel like as it went on, it just each day got better and better, and it just started fantastic. But that was day one.
Good start. Yeah. That was a really good intro.
That was only day one.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on that day.
So the next morning, again, fantastic breakfast. Everywhere we went, the food was great, whether it was cooked at a eco lodge or if it was just cooked over a fire for us. Every time we had food, it was fantastic.
And, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. But for day two, we were going to do our longest hike. They drove us to the trailhead, and we were greeted with two more locals, and they both had donkeys that had some more water with them, because we were going on a longer hike for the next couple of days. And again, we're in the mountains. There was just this immense landscape in front of us. You could kind of see where the trail was going up this ridge, and they didn't go past it. And we were just looking at this, like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know if we can walk that far.
That was the vast difference between the first day and the second day, is, you know, we saw our trail the first day going down. This time it was,
yeah,
there's the ridge. Back up. We gotta go up.
But, you know, like this group of people we went with were all just troopers, and we were all, we had our destination and we all went for it. And, you know, along the way, anytime we needed a breather, we would get our water breaks. And then our guide Mahmood would throw in more lessons on what we were seeing and culture and all that stuff.
I loved his lessons.
Part of the lessons of the stories that we would hear would just remind me, like, we're standing on a ridge and we're looking out, and they're like, oh yeah, this is Palestine. And like, this is what we're seeing, you know, it looks like Tatooine, like Alicia said, it looks like Tatooine, but this is Palestine. Like, that's Palestine, Israel. Like, we're in Jordan. This is where the beginning of the stories came from that our civilization tells, you know? And so it's so fascinating to just be reminded of where on the planet you are and how rich and ancient the history is.
Exactly.
To me, it like brought myth to life. And I know I say myth like in a weird way, that what I'm trying to say is you just hear about the start of life throughout, you know, grade school and all your lessons and scripture and, you know, all of this stuff. And it's like, yes, I am immersed completely in what that story was talking about.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah, like the Jordan River. I remember when I first went to Jordan and I went up into the north of Jordan, we went up to this viewpoint and there was this body of water out there, and they're like, oh yeah, that's the Sea of Galilee. I'm like, what? Right there? Like,
I've heard of that. Flesh?
Like, it's just so weird, you know? Like, oh, these are so wild to go and see these things, like, that you've heard of before. Yeah.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
So the second hike, just kind of keep going on the itinerary, but while I would say it was the hardest hike because of the terrain and just the gain and the loss and then that kind of the continual up and down that we had to go through, I would say it was the most rewarding. And that really came from where we stayed the night that evening. As Jeff was mentioning, we went up on this ridge and we had a really, really climb. And then we finally descended down into this gorgeous valley filled with, was it barley? Was barley. That right, Jeff?
But before we got there, remember we saw one human outside of our group that whole trip. There was one Bedouin man who was on a donkey, just out looking for a sheep. So there was no one on this hike except for that one other person, which made it pretty cool.
And goats.
And goats. Yep.
We
saw
goats. We had a goat parade. Remember the goat parade?
Surrounding us.
Yes. Yeah.
we were just enveloped.
I don't think you can tell a complete story about Jordan without goats. There's always goats somewhere.
That's so true.
A babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's valley that we walked to where our camp was, that was my favorite. It was so beautiful. That was when we camped with the Bedouins.
Yes. One.
Yep. And so when we got there, all of our tents were set up and the backdrop of this, so these Bedouin family lived there and they had their permanent tents. And then they set up two-person tents for all our whole group. But our backdrop was this cliff face that almost looked like it was made out of Swiss cheese or something. It was just so unique stonework. And then they had a couple barley fields right around their home. And then you could, in the distance, see a couple other of their neighbors and where they lived. And it was just a super unique landscape. And it was an awesome place to end that hike. And they just like immediately took care of us. They had a fire going, they had food cooking. So we're like smelling all these smells. They fed us another just amazing meal. And then we were all kind of sitting around the fire at night. And I think this is one of the most magical moments was the local Bedouins were doing some of their traditional chants and singing some of their songs. And it's it was nothing like I've ever heard before. And it was just super meaningful to them. And then for us to all sit around, you know, exhausted and full and just enjoying this fire. It was just such a bonus to have those gentlemen like treating us with some of their cultural and historical like songs and chants and whatnot. And Mahmood joined with them. And that was pretty fun too.
He did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those songs just seem to like reverberate off all of the canyon walls that we were just, you know, in the middle of. And it was a beautiful moment. I would say in the top for me on this trip, mm-hmm. witnessing those songs by our hosts. Mm-hmm.
Sure. That night was also one of my favorite moments because I can't let you go further until we talk about that meal. Oh my gosh. Like, I feel like my mouth is watering right now. That was my favorite meal of the entire trip. Do you remember what it was called?
Yes.
I don't. You do?
Matzah.
Thank you. Okay. So it's a rice and. What? And you didn't invite me?
I think you're
Can we do it again? Can we do it again?
It was really good. She
absolutely.
Okay. So did you do the secret? So here's the thing. We had, this is actually kind of a fun little side story, but when you're an adventure travel group in Jordan, it is possible that a police escort will join you on your trip. And it's meant to make you feel safe. It's the tourism police. It's not to make sure you're not doing anything wrong. Like it's actually to help protect you and make you have like a complete experience. I don't know who made that rule, but they like to do that. And so we had this guy named Ala who was with us, and I was sitting next to him at the fire while we were having this dinner. So this dinner, it's like a chicken and rice. Almost everything there was chicken and rice, but it's the spices and it's all the other things that are included with it. And there was salad there, but I will admit I did not touch the salad. I think I had thirds of like the chicken and rice thing. Yeah. But the magic was this yogurt. It was fermented yogurt. It was like this fermented yogurt liquid that you're supposed to put over it. So you serve yourself the rice, you serve the chicken, and then you pour this liquid over it. And Ala, like at one point, he saw me having a moment with my food and he was like, you need to go get some more of that, put it in a cup and drink it in between bites. Oh, wow. Don't just pour it over the meal, but actually like sip it in between your bites. And I was like, okay, I mean, he's telling me to do this. I'm going to do it. This is the secret about this food, right? Oh man, I'm going to be dreaming about that meal for the rest of my life because it absolutely, this was like by my third course by now. Like I had to go back and try what he was saying. It was so stupid good. And it was so much better. And it like brought out all the flavors of everything. It was just a party. It was an absolute party for my taste buds. It was amazing. Like
Mansaf is the traditional meal where it's just a guarantee. Like at a wedding, Mansaf.
Yep.
Graduation, Mansaf. Birth, Mansaf. It doesn't matter. You will have it. And so there's kind of like all these different takes on it, like the drinking.
That's it. Yeah.
You know,
was the magic. That was what set this one apart. That was so good. And I mean, it was amazing to look around and realize that they made all of this just over the fire in this canyon with these cliffs all around us and tents.
It was amazing. They did not have a wine opener though, and I remember you were determined to get some wine, and I heard that you could put wine in your shoe and like hit it against a rock and like
tried everything.
Somehow you got it open. I don't know how, but it seemed like the whole struggle of the trip was how are we going to open our wine bottles?
It happened to us again and again. And really the moral of that story is just to buy a wine key before you leave civilization.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Oh, how we could
have never leave without
so
one.
Many times. I know.
Great lesson learned.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was my favorite.
That was an epic night.
The camping too. And I want to say it was the only night that we camped in tents, like with Bedouins. And I think that people were nervous about that. And like every time you think that Petra is going to be your biggest highlight of the trip or whatever, but no, it ends up being the meal that you shared at the campfire and watching the Bedouins dancing. And I mean, no one could write that, you know, but when you're, that's what I like to call accommodations with 5 billion stars, you know, like when you're just under the night sky and just open to culture and people and opportunity, like, it's amazing.
It was, that was a super cool experience to say the least. It was amazing. So the next morning we woke up and they cooked us breakfast and I believe they gave us a lunch as well. And
oh, we got to pack our lunch. So that's what we got to do most days.
We did get to pack our own lunch.
And it usually consisted of box hummus, a cucumber, some pita, tomato,
cream cheese
and Nutella.
and Nutella. Yeah. And fruit and juices. And we did get to put together our own lunches, which was nice.
Lunch bag, which is fun. And we basically left from there. So as we were leaving that camp, I just kept looking back and seeing our little line of 8 or 10 or 12 tents just getting further and further away. And you just kind of see where we were at these different vantage points. And we were walking by a bunch of different homes. I mean, they were spread out pretty far apart, but we would go by homes or there'd be, I remember on our first stop for a break, there was this little girl and she had to have been no older than 6 or 7. And she was kind of keeping these goats in check. And, you know, she's barefoot, just making sure that the goats don't stray off. And we're stopping and having a break. I think Mahmood's probably giving us a lesson of some sort. And it was just kind of fun to see this little kid who was,
getting
to her animals and just living in just this epic part of the world. And it was fun to see her and her interaction with her animals.
Well, let's talk about our guides, because we had our donkeys. We had two donkeys, one in the front and one in the back. And their handlers was a father and son duo, right?
Two Bedouins? I think so. Yeah.
And
it was like the brother of the guy at the camp who ran who the camp.
Us.
Yeah, yeah, who hosted us. Yeah, it's all family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those two were, I don't even want to say like they were such troopers. That's like so watering down just how their demeanor was. It just, one, they do this all the time, which is incredible because we're, at times we were struggling, but they were just such a joy to be around, even when you were walking in silence with them. They just had this way about them communicating and teach and, you know, trying to, you know, teach us words and us teach them words. Just such a unique, fun experience to be able to share that with these two locals who this is their job. These are their pets. Mm-hmm. That was another thing we learned. These donkeys aren't really like for hire, I guess is a way to say it, but it's their pets. It's their habibis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they're well loved.
Yeah. I want to share this because John just put something in the chat that is like a case in point of what you just said, Chanel. Not that night that we stayed camping, but one of the days along the hike, Janet in our group taught one of our Bedouin guides how to floss, like the floss, like teenagers.
Yeah.
And we do have video evidence of it. It's so funny though, because they're just like, they're just lighthearted people. Like they know these trails better than anyone, which is why we have to have Bedouin guides back there, because even
Absolutely.
The guides, it's not just out of, respect for their land that we're going through their land. So they're the ones guiding us through it, but they also are the only ones who know where the trail mm-hmm. goes this season because the weather changes it and whatever. But they're just such fun. They love travelers. They love to interact with us, and no, they don't speak our language, but it doesn't matter. Like we all have that universal language of dance and laughter and just body language. I mean, it was so, that was just, we were like in tears laughing about this flossing.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
He could floss better than I can. So props to that guy. Okay. So where are we at? We're basically headed to Little Petra.
Yeah.
And as we were going, there was more and more civilization happening, whether that's kind of some modern stuff popping up or halfway into our trip in there, there's a square hole cut out of the ground. And Mahmood gathered us all around this square and he was like, what do you guys think this is? And I felt like we had super intelligent guesses. We thought,
like ball pit.
Yeah, a ball pit. Like
or McDonald's. Like a bed.
A bed, a pool,
a bath.
A bath.
Yeah, so many things.
Every person had at least 3 or 4 pretty good guesses. Mm-hmm. And we were wrong every time. But, you know, he taught us that was where it was a wine press. And there was about 70 of those around there. There's so many, back in the day, there were so many traders and travelers and people that were going into this area that they had to just like mass produce all this wine for the people going through there. And, you know, that was super cool to see kind of imagine what an ancient wine operation would have looked like. We were basically standing on it and it was probably from the first century, you know, just super cool. And, you know, so we always got these little tidbits from Mahmood. And
we started to see those even more. Like, you started to notice them along the way. We never would have known or probably even considered like what they were. And to know that there was so much wine being made in that region is kind of mind blowing, because now it's very dry and arid. And it's like, it doesn't, I don't think it would work well for wine at all. And yet they used to.
Well, and if we would have drove, we would have never seen it or known about that, you know? So that's another bonus to our walking, is just all the things we got to see along the way.
And a shout out to have a guide to be able to show you and tell you what this square rock is, that even if you did walk by it, to not know or appreciate what you're looking at.
That's also very true. Yeah. Cause not every guide would take the, would initiate those kind of lessons like Mahmood did. He was so good. He was so good. Exactly. I love having a guide though. It's like a key to unlocking the real part of the culture. Like, you can go and it's, I think you would just skirt around. It's like you just skirt around the outside of a building, but having a guide is like, okay, let's go in and like, let's see everything. And then you really get to learn like what it's all about. Absolutely. Love that.
Yeah. He was actually probably the gem of the whole trip. Just all that we learned from him. He was great.
He's super knowledgeable.
Yeah. So as we were continuing, we kind of hiked through this little canyon area, and then we went up these stairs, and there was that man's shop who put the coal on our eyes. And that was right at the, basically the back entrance of Little Petra. And we all got the coal on the eyes, and we kind of looked through his shop and got a few things. I think Chanel bought just a massive ring and some cool fun stuff at his place. And then we descended down into Little Petra, which is a different part of town where they did a lot of business. And there was this canyon, and on either side there were these rooms that were carved out. So a lot of them were square rooms, and that's where they had meetings. And he pointed out, like, they would come in and they'd sit in these benches. And if there was two benches, it was called a biclinium. And if there's three benches, it was a triclinium. And that, you could just imagine, since this was this central point between Asia, Africa, Europe, and Arabia, like, all kinds of commerce and business and travelers were going through there. And that's basically where they would probably buy and sell their products. So this was kind of like the business part of the town. And it was super interesting. We just walking through there and just imagining, you know, the hustle and bustle that there must have been, you know, a couple thousand years ago when it was in its peak. And, you know, again, you could have just driven and parked at the parking lot and walked into it, but we got an extra special experience, and it just meant more to us that we kind of hiked into it and got to see it and all the things leading up to it, since we were doing it all on foot. So, and then from there, our hotel, we went to the little Petra Bedouin camp, and it was just a quick jaunt from there. Super cool area. Did you have anything to add about the little Petra, Chanel?
Well, you know what I was saying about when you're walking on the trails and you're like, oh, it's like history brought to life. It's kind of that, but in another way of when we're now talking about civilization, you can picture these meetings happen. You can picture this trade route active and thriving. And the reason that the Nabataeans were a superpower at that time, it's preservation of this place really, really helps all of that, just to be able to imagine it fully. I just can't say it enough. It's incredible.
And I think Little Petra, I think it's interesting too, that we get to see Little Petra, because I'm not sure that most people even know that that exists. I mean, I didn't before I went to Jordan. Did you guys know about Little Petra? No.
I thought it was just the monastery and the treasury, and that was it.
Exactly. Right. Or maybe just the treasury, even, like, that's what people think Petra is just like one facade, which
one,
like,
cut out.
How wrong is that? Right. And to leave Petra on its own without even talking about Little Petra too is interesting. And I don't think most people go there, because it's out of the way. It's smaller, but it is on the trail. We go right through it. And so that was one thing that we did get to see. And I think that it completes the history. It completes the story of Petra when you know that Little Petra is just down the way, and that's where the traders would go, and that Petra is actually where the people lived and where the things happened. And this is where we're going on the next day. So,
yeah.
Which we also get to hike in the back door.
So each day is incredible, but it seems like it's starting to get better and better. And then we're like, all right, well, tomorrow we're going to go and our destination is the monastery. So we stayed in the little Bedouin camp.
Oh, this Bedouin camp holds a special place in mine and Jeff's marital turmoil.
Okay, so we got there and there was this amazing lounge tent where you could hang out and there's hookah and there's drinks and it's just this cool, authentic spot. And then they showed us that first and then they showed us to our room. And Chanel was like pretty pooped from all the hiking and she was going to lay down and take a nap. And I thought,
and these rooms are tents with a structure.
These were like these square tents with a bed. It was just the perfect spot to lay down. And we needed to get off our feet. Yeah. And Chanel was like, I'm just going to lay down. And I said, well, I'm going to go to the hangout spot and see who's there and probably grab a beer and just kind of enjoy that. And the wind was blowing a little and it kept blowing our door open. And I locked the door from the outside and I went down and I was hanging out in the tent, the main tent. And over time, all the people in the group kept coming down and everyone's asking, you know, where's Chanel? And I'm like, oh, she's napping.
Great question.
Well, I didn't realize I locked you in. And so while Chanel is frantically trying to escape this tent, me and almost everyone in our group were chatting and having a good time and hanging out. And our police escort, Allah, was just about to leave. And he had written down just this amazing, like, send off to all of us. And I was so excited. Yeah. He had this speech and I think he'd been working on it for a couple of days and he asked, you know, where's Chanel? And I was like, well, oh, she's taking a nap. And he's like, oh, okay, well, you know, I got to take out
a long nap.
He delivers this phenomenal heartfelt speech, you know, wishing us well on our journey and our lives. And it just, I've never felt more love from a human being in my life. And then he goes on his way and we're all about to head towards dinner. And then I think Ashley heard you screaming to get out of your tent. And she
banging on the door.
So you like kind of come down towards me looking like I don't like to see you. Pretty upset.
I came in hot.
Yeah. You're like, dude.
So shout out to Ashley, my savior.
So I didn't mean it, but you know, I accidentally locked her in and she missed like the send off and whatnot. But
She made it to dinner.
And I felt bad.
If I missed a Jordanian meal, I would have been way more upset. That's a crime.
Well, again, yeah, right. Another amazing meal. And I'm glad Chanel was there to eat it.
Ashley's here. She just gave some high fives in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Well, next day. Hike got into, we could see the monastery. It was kind of like this little, it looked like almost some cairns or whatever, these rock outcroppings. And as you got closer and closer, the monastery just kind of came into view, just this epic carve out from the mountain where they carve it from the top down. It's just this spectacularly well preserved, you know, one of the wonders of the world, seven wonders. It was amazing.
And that's at the very, very back of Petra, mm-hmm. which is noteworthy.
And at the top.
How many steps, Chanel?
900.
Well, 900. Because we're at the top at this point. We're on a ridge of that mountain.
Mm-hmm. And so the monastery is one that a lot of people don't see. Even they go all the way across the world or for wherever they're coming from to Petra, and they don't go to the back of the city and up the 900 steps that would take them to the monastery. And that's the first thing we see because we're coming in the trail from the back. And so we get to enjoy that and then go 900. You don't even really notice the 900 steps down. It like winds down this narrow canyon through shops and donkeys and people.
Yeah.
And you really don't even notice that you're getting down to the city floor. But Petra, then you get down there. I know you were really taken with that, Jeff, down in that area.
Oh, it was amazing. It was, you get all the way down there and there's like a huge, I think it was a temple. There's these, everywhere you look in all of the sides of the hills, there's tombs, and every person they would carve a tomb for their body. So there's tombs all over the place. There's temples, there's a church, there's this roadway with a hand dug culvert or whatnot for the water because it's so precious to like make sure they're in charge of where the water goes and to capture it and not flood when it does rain because it's pretty sparse. And then just that entire landscape, when we got down to that area, was covered in pottery shards everywhere. Yeah. Like, you couldn't hurl a dead cat and not hit a pottery shard. They were all over the place. It was crazy. So you can just imagine how much stuff was going on back then. It's mind blowing. And so that was the monastery in that part. And then we stayed in this super cool hotel, and we got to grab a beer in a 2,000-year-old
cave bar.
It
was super cool. We passed by Jeff's bookstore on the way there, which was epic.
Imagine the trading back in the day with Jeff's bookstore.
Yeah. My great, great, great Nepotian uncle back in the day.
Lost a few people to the Indiana Jones souvenir store on the way there.
Sure. Yeah.
It is important to note, though, then when we came in from the back into Petra, we also left through the side because the next morning was like the main event. And yes. So.
Well, we left the hotel and walked through the Seek, which is this amazing tight slot canyon. And if you weren't going with a guide, you would have missed so many things. But our guide, Mahmood, was pointing out how when it would rain, the water would run down the side of the canyon, and it would collect in these little troughs, and it would rush it down to water storage areas. So like their streets never flooded, but they're able to capture every drop of water. So we're kind of seeing this along the way, and it's this area is pretty full of tourists, but everyone's just blowing by these different things. And there's these carvings on the side of the wall for their gods. And there's just these cool things that we're seeing along the way. And then, the closer we got to the treasury, I can't remember who, but someone put the Indiana Jones theme song on, and we were all humming it, and you could kind of see it kind of come into view through this canyon. And then it just opened up, and it was almost just a flawless piece of stonework from, the Nepotian time, which was basically around 2,000 years ago. Fantastic to look at, and just there was people and camels, and just like there's hustle and bustle there. We were, tourists and whatnot, but you could just imagine back in the day, I'm sure there was the same kind of buzzing vibe around that whole area. It was just an amazing piece of architecture. It was just stunning. They basically showed their wealth by saying, like, hey, look at us. We can create this amazing structure. And we enjoyed it from down at the floor level. And then we did take a hike up, and we were able to look at it from above as well. And along that hike, we could see like a Roman style amphitheater. And we passed other tombs that were similar in size to that, but they were more exposed to the elements. So they were getting a little bit, they weren't as well preserved, but you could just imagine what it must have been like way back in its heyday. It would have been just an incredible place, because it was really cool. Cool to see.
Yeah.
And that marked the end of our hike.
Yeah.
Which maybe is convenient, because we're getting towards the end of our time limit here. We still had a few more days of this trip that weren't quite so grueling with hiking, but that was when we transferred by bus to go down to Wadi Rum, which I think ended up being maybe the highlight for a lot of people. Wadi Rum was amazing. And then when we weren't even done. We went to the Dead Sea after that. And we did Wadi Mujib also, which was some canyoning. But are there any like thoughts that you guys have of those few days before we wrap up?
So Chanel was recovering from a torn ACL and MCL. She was just thinking, like, first of all, how am I going to do this? And she crushed it every day. And then the very last day was that Wadi Mujib, which is through the water, like ropes course, canyoneering. And she was about to write that off. Like, there's no way I can do this. I'm going to slip and hurt my knee. But Chanel.
Well, it ended up being my favorite part of the trip. It was awesome. It was one of those things I'm just so thankful I said yes and trusted our guide, trusted our group.
That's a really good point. Why did you have to trust the group? Because I'm right with you on that.
Because it was scary at times. It was not comfortable.
It was. I wasn't sure I was going to be okay with it either.
There were a couple times I coached you through a rock slide as you're blasting through a waterfall.
Yes. These are the exhilarating moments that we live for, though, in the end.
Yeah. 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 It was amazing. Yeah.
It was.
And just highlight of my trip. Definitely Wadi Mujib.
It blows me away that we were able to do that in Jordan, because I think when people think about Jordan, they think about, like, they don't even know what to think. They think desert and flat, which it's really, yeah, desert maybe, but it's not flat, right?
And flat.
Not flat. And the fact that we had that canyon, I mean, it was a very narrow slot canyon that we went back, I don't know how, maybe a couple miles or something. Like, it wasn't that long, but we were climbing over rocks and we were swimming and we were holding onto each other and helping each other get onto these ropes and climb up these ladders and then take these natural rock water slides down, which, and that landed in waterfalls. Like, that part was really scary, but we were in Jordan. Like, the whole time we did that, we were still in Jordan, which blows my mind that there was so much water. And you can only do that at certain times of year because of the water, because of the season, but we hit it right. It was amazing.
Float chain
that we did on the way down, where we all just kind of like laid back and wrapped our feet on the next person's head. Like, we just held on to each other and just made this long float and just traveled just down. It was so nice to end the trip. That was like, we worked so hard, and then it was like Lazy River style. That's my jam. So great.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun.
The itinerary, the way that we started off really hot and just ended how we did on the Lazy River, it's perfect. There's you can't dream that up. You just have to trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
And floating in the Dead Sea, which is also, I still think it's a must do. You have to experience it. Put the mud all over you, get in the water, let it bob you around like a rubber ducky. Yeah. And then, okay, I do have to share one more thing that we haven't talked about yet, but this happened because we had so many hours every day walking, right, on the trails. We had a trip song that is not what you would think at all. I don't know where it came from, who started singing it, probably Mahmood. It was La Bamba. And of all songs, right, La Bamba. And we all... I think I taught the words to you guys. Like, there's actually words to La Bamba. And so I taught you guys the words to La Bamba. And we were just singing this random La Bamba song, like, on the trail.
It was our anthem.
It was our anthem. It was our anthem. I mean, we sang a lot of songs on the trail. I think you just end up singing on the trail when you hike together for so many days. But La Bamba was our anthem. And on the last night, after we had our dinner and had our last like group conversation, we did our Rosebud Thorn, like we did our last thing. And then we thought, okay, let's go down to the music. Like, let's watch the belly dancer. Like, let's get one last drink together. And we're heading down there. And right as we're entering the dance floor, what song comes on but freaking La Bamba? Like, in what universe does that happen?
The whole group like ran to the dance floor, and we've been singing it for 9 days straight. And then finally it was like on the speakers. It was awesome.
That was straight. I mean, my goodness, that's the magic. Like, that right there, that's the magic. There's nothing else to explain that. It was absolutely amazing. Really cool way to end that trip. I know.
So, yeah.
I think with that, we do need to wrap this portion up. So, because I know we could just keep going, and maybe we'll have to do a second. I did see that there is a new itinerary that connects Wadi Rum with Petra. And I'm like, oh, maybe we could do the second half now. Who knows? I don't know. But yeah, I do want to say before we wrap up this part, Jeff and Chanel, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your stories and being open to trying out something new with me and showing up and doing this, and also for coming on the trip, because you guys really added a lot to it, and I'm really grateful that you guys were there. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. This was awesome. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, we're so thankful. Yeah.
All right. Big shout out again to both Jeff and Chanel for really taking us into the experience of walking along the Jordan Trail. I love that neither of them knew anything about Jordan before, and
how it just wasn't on their radar, and yet they opened themselves up to it by taking the leap and saying yes to our invitation when we led a group there. And because of that decision, they had just such an incredible experience, and they learned so much. I mean, Jeff was pulling out facts and names and stats like a pro, and I'm just so amazed how much they were able to share about Jordan today, and I'm so grateful. I really hope that you learned something and were at least inspired by listening to that. Before we wrap up, I have two pieces of good news to share with you. First of all, now you know what the chanting was at the beginning of this episode, and I'm going to play that entire song for you at the end of this episode. It's just about a minute long, so that's coming to you shortly, so you can revisit what that Bedouin chant in the desert sounded like, this time in its entirety. And you can imagine sitting around the campfire drinking tea with the night sky above us and the big cliffs just over our shoulders and the tents off to our right, and watching these Bedouins share with us part of their culture. It was really, really special. And the second thing is that while we don't know exactly when we at Jump Adventures will run this group trip to Jordan again, we can set it up for you and send you with your friends or family in a private group if you want to experience it just like we did. So feel free to reach out to us. Email us at support@jumpadventures.com or reach out to us via our website. And that might just be a little sneak peek for something that's coming down the pipeline at Jump Adventures starting in 2024. So once again, make sure you're subscribed to our email list so you'll be the first to find out what new opportunities are coming your way. Thank you so much for being here and for tuning into our beloved podcast. We appreciate you very much, and we will catch you next time. Here's one more song before you go.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.